Hey, I'm Jenna Wolf, certified lactation counselor, parent coach, and extended breastfeeding mom of two. I fully understand the unique challenges of breastfeeding beyond the baby days, and I'm here to take your hand and support you along your journey. So toss that hair in a messy bun, grab a basket of laundry to fold, and let's get started. This is Start to Stop Toddler Breastfeeding. In this week's episode, I had the absolute pleasure of interviewing Jenny Casilius, who is a registered dental hygienist and oral facial myofunctional therapist. Her complete bio is in the show notes. But I really wanted to take a moment before we get into the episode, because I know that for many of you, you're looking at the title, you're looking at the show notes, and you're like, I don't understand. What is this? Does this relate to me? I don't even know what these words are. But there are many, many, many people in the world, maybe yourself, maybe your child, maybe your partner, who have orofacial myofunctional disorders and are not even aware of it because it's really normalized in our culture. And we're going to get into that in the episode. But having an orofacial myofunctional disorder can be sabotaging your best efforts to feel well rested, to have patience with your children. It can also be sabotaging your child's best efforts to get that full night's sleep, right? It can be really amplifying the troubles in your breastfeeding and weaning experiences right now. It's not a guarantee. This might not be the issue for you, but it just might be. So I really want you to have a listen, pay attention, and dip your toe into the world of orofacial myology so that you can optimize your well-being and your child's well-being, and really enjoy your life and thrive. Okay, so without further ado, please have a listen and make sure that you hit the subscribe button or the follow button if you're on Spotify so that you can get part two when it drops in a few days. Enjoy. Jenny, it is such a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. I've been stoked for this conversation for weeks. So I cannot wait to hear more about your story, because you've alluded to it when we've talked prior, but I've not really heard how you got into providing this work. So I'd love to hear a little bit about, well, first of all, what it is that you actually do, and then how you got into it.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. So yeah, my name's Jenny. I'm a registered dental hygienist by trade. So now I'm doing, most of my work is orofacial myofunctional therapy. And how I started with that was I was seeing all these issues in clinic with like sore jaws and mouth breathing habits and children's not growing their jaw to their full potential. And I started looking into why, and behavior issues. And my daughter was a big one of them. She was diagnosed when she was 6 with dyslexia. So I kind of, and then they said that she had a little bit of ADHD. So I kind of dug further and deeper, and it was a lot was stemming from her sleeping habits. So I started looking into sleep and airway health, and she had a narrow jaw. She had a very narrow upper jaw, and her tongue wasn't postured from the proper position. And so I started looking into this, and I found the field of orofacial myofunctional therapy. So yeah, that's kind of like my daughter was my why and why I got into the field. And we started doing some myofunctional therapy with her. Her sleep got better. The bags under her eyes were disappearing, and her behavior was a lot better, and her reading. She was just able to process it a lot more efficiently. And it was a night and day difference for us. And her school grades went from like just barely passing to now she's functioning and loving school and paying attention a lot more. So that was a big, wow, this airway issue is huge, especially in behaviors. And so I got into myofunctional therapy.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, I relate to that like on so many levels from what I've seen with clients and all those pieces too. How important like breathing while you sleep, I mean, breathing in general is, but like that breathing while you sleep is, it just plays such a foundational role in your life. I love that your daughter, like that was like something that you noticed in your daughter, and that she had this really exciting journey. So could you explain a little bit more about what like orofacial myofunctional therapy really is, like how it works and what you're looking for? And you mentioned like tongue posture, obviously like breathing at night and you know, all of those kinds of things. But could you give a little bit more detail on to what that kind of looks like?
Sure. So myofunctional therapy or oral facial myofunctional therapy is pretty much almost like physiotherapy, but for your tongue. So we do a lot of tongue strengthening and tongue toning exercises. So there's always four goals that we aim to achieve with myofunctional therapy. So first, we want to make sure you're breathing all day and all night through your nose. So want to cut out the mouth breathing habit and make sure that you're always nasal breathing. With a proper assessment, we have to make sure that you can breathe through your nose first, that there's nothing blocking it and no other health practitioners are needed. So we always want to make sure that you can breathe through your nose. The second goal would be making sure that you have a proper lip seal. So that will go hand in hand with the nasal breathing, making sure those lips are closed, that you're promoting healthy breathing through your nose. A third one is the tongue posture. So your tongue should always be kind of suctioned to the roof of your mouth. That will help. The tongue is kind of like our natural expander, especially while we're growing. So when you start off at a young age with that tongue suctioned to the roof of your mouth, we tend to get a wider upper jaw. But if the tongue is postured lower because of a habit or a tongue tie issue, then we tend to see more of a V-shaped, very narrow, high upper palate. And the upper palate is basically the floor of our sinuses as well. So the higher it is, the smaller our sinuses become. And then number four is we want to make sure our tongue's functioning properly, making sure it has the correct swallowing pattern, that it's suctioned up and it's not swallowing a lot of air. We tend to get a little bit more digestive issues in that way. And then when your tongue is actually suctioned up to the palate, a lot less frequent ear infections can happen. So if you tend to have a lot of ear infections, especially as a child, it could be the suction of that tongue, not allowing that middle ear canal to drain properly. So yeah, so those are the four goals of the myofunctional therapy. So it's very compliance based, a lot of the exercises at home that you're training, because you're altering your behavior so that you're doing the correct positioning and postures.
I feel like in the lactation world, a lot of people are familiar with like tongue ties and oral restrictions, which do play a part in this, because obviously, and for anyone who doesn't know what a tongue tie is, it is literally when the tissue underneath your tongue is too tight, or perhaps like comes too far forward and you can't actually lift your tongue and have like proper mobility with your tongue, which in what you were sharing there, like your tongue cannot be suctioned to the roof of your mouth. And as you were sharing, that natural palate expansion can't occur. Then you get this high voltage palate that can, in my case, did likely twist your septum, like in your nose. It can cause all of your airway passages to be too small. I have had surgery to get my nasal passages widened. Like, so this, it totally happens like that. So then there's this tongue tie, which we like are familiar with in lactation, but a lot of people don't go the step further to understand that even after that tongue tie is like released, the actual tissue is released, there's these behavioral habits, quote habits. It's not a habit as in like a bad habit that you're doing, like, you know, because you're lazy or bad or anything like that, but like your muscles and everything need to relearn and those neural pathways need to like reform, right? So that your tongue can function properly again. So that's what I'm hearing, right? Like all of those pieces with that. And I think that it's just like, it's important to mention that, because I think a lot of people like think about like the tongue tie, perhaps if you're in the lactation world. And I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast have had babies who have had tongue ties and they had them released. But there can still be these additional issues. Like having that tie released doesn't automatically fix everything overnight. Like it's a really complex system that's happening in the tongue, in the mouth. So it's so important to have those additional supports. And then this is so cool because it's exercises. So if the surgical piece of having the tongue tie released was like intense or like a lot to go through, and I get it, but this is like exercises for your tongue and mouth. And I know that this can happen because I'm on this journey myself, but this can happen at any age. You can make these changes into adulthood as well, which is really, really exciting. So I guess I'd like to ask, because we're talking about this, what do those exercises even look like?
So the process is different for everybody. We'll take a look at the first session is basically a full assessment just to see what's going on, looking for the root cause, why are we having behavior issues? Why are we having that, you know, higher anxiety? Why are we not sleeping well at nighttime? Why are we mouth breathing? Is it a habit, or is it because you absolutely need to mouth breathe because you can't breathe through your nose? So we take a look. So sometimes we have to involve other healthcare providers. A lot of times, actually, it's a very collaborative approach, myofunctional therapy. So we take a look at everything. Then we refer out to ENTs, your family doctors, allergists, if we just can't get that congestion down in the nasal passages, body workers, chiropractors, physiotherapists, massage therapists, that cranial sacral therapists. We involve a lot of different people, airway dentists, TMJ specialists, and dentists are also involved in a lot of cases. If you need a tongue tie released, then we have to send off to a phrenectomy provider, which we assess the tongue function to see if it does need a release or not. A lot of people associate tongue ties with just that tip of the tongue really being tied to the floor of the mouth. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it's something we call a posterior tongue tie, where you're speaking properly, you're eating properly, so nobody looks for a tongue tie issue. So posterior tongue tie is not necessarily the back of the tongue. It's still in the front, but it's the two-thirds away from the front. It doesn't allow that back of the tongue to suction up, which is what we want, so that it doesn't fall back into the throat, so that we don't, as we grow, get into that sleep apnea issue. So if you had to do a therapy program, let's say, and you needed a tongue tie release, we would start like 2 to 3 months before the tongue tie release. Start toning that tongue by exercises. You would do these exercises twice a day. Like I said, everybody is a little bit different with what exercises I would give, but a good one is like something called the tongue cave. And we would suction that whole tongue up to the roof of the palate and then click down. So we suction it for 10 seconds and then click down. And that just promotes that tongue cave and really getting into that palate. A lot of people can't because their palate is so narrow and high that they can't get that tongue suctioned properly. So then we also look at, do we need expansion? Do we involve an orthodontist or an airway dentist that does expansion to help create some more room for our tongue? Because sometimes releasing a tongue tie and not having the room for your tongue after release can actually cause more issues than not. So yeah, we take a kind of look at everything, and everybody's a little bit different based on the treatment they want or, you know, they can get. So it's the therapy, the exercises are always a little bit different, but a tongue cave, everybody will have that tongue cave suction, that tongue up to that roof of the mouth, because that's ultimately our goal. Our end goal is to keep our tongue there all day and all night. So that because it's very hard to breathe. Try to suction your tongue up to your roof of your mouth right now and try to breathe out of your mouth. You can't, but you can breathe through your nose. But if your tongue's lower postured, which is hanging out at the bottom of your mouth, you can open your mouth and mouth breathe no problem. So that when that tongue is up in suction, that is really promoting that nasal breathing, and that's what we want.
Yeah. And so why do we want the nasal breathing? Obviously, it can have really big impacts, as you shared with your daughter. But what are the benefits of the nasal breathing?
I always say noses are breathing, mouths for eating. You don't ever try to eat food with your nose. So basically, breathing affects your whole quality of life. When you mouth breathe, it can cause things like allergies and food sensitivities, enlarged tonsils or adenoids. That's huge with mouth breathing. I've seen a lot of people where after they had that mouth breathing habit corrected, those tonsils actually decreased in size without having to need for removal. I am not saying that that is the end result. If your tonsils are touching, you definitely need to go see a specialist there, an ENT, to help assess if they need to be removed or not. Because if they're touching, you're not breathing. Chronic nasal congestion also happens when you're mouth breathing. You're not filtering that air that you're breathing properly. And then you also, when you mouth breathe, you don't create a molecule that we need to deliver the oxygen throughout our bodies. A lot of times you'll hear people say you get actually 20% less oxygen when you mouth breathe, but that's not necessarily true. You still get oxygen when you're mouth breathing. You just don't get it delivered properly. So you get 18 to 20% less oxygen delivered properly because you're not creating that nitric oxide that we want when we breathe through our nose. And nitric oxide, we can get through foods, but we get it mostly from nasal breathing. And that's the biggest thing. We want that nitric oxide so that we can deliver that oxygen throughout all our whole body. And with mouth breathing, actually, you tend to have a lot more behavioral issues. So anxiety, depression, is also elevated and increased. Your body's constantly in that fight or flight response. It's constantly stressed when you're mouth breathing. So over time, over the years, you're going to notice a lot more side effects from it. You can notice even diabetes, blood pressure, or any cardiovascular disease is going to happen over time because you're constantly in that high stress state when you're mouth breathing.
What I'm hearing from you is that it's almost like we're, you know, not actually, this could be a bad analogy, but it's like we're malnourished when we're breathing through our mouth. Like we're not giving our body like the nourishment that it needs to actually thrive. So we're constantly in this like survival mode state. Like our body's constantly in this deficit, right? It's working extra, extra hard to just function properly and function normally. So we are exhausted, and it makes perfect sense that there would be cognitive issues, that you wouldn't be able to focus properly. If we reframe this as a child, these issues can absolutely be happening from infancy, right? Like from birth, essentially, these issues can be there because we know that the palate is already being shaped, like while the infant is gestating, like before the child's even born, the palate's being formed and the tongue is moving and swallowing, sucking, swallowing, all that's happening. So it's happening really, really early on. So it makes so much sense that there would be, you know, a lot of dysfunction in our day, just from the fact that our bodies aren't being, you know, nourished, quote, the way that they need to be, kind of like at night. That makes perfect sense to me.
That's the, like you touched a little bit on it. And that's like the one thing I kind of want to mention throughout this.
Yeah.
Is I know that there's a lot of new moms and everything that are listening. And I just want to say that mouth breathing is not normal. It is considered normal so much. Right now that we see, I see kids, it's just normal to see kids open mouth posture, really droopy eyes, bags behind the venous pooling, which is the little bags that we see underneath their eyes. It's completely normal to see. That's what our children are supposed to look like. But as soon as you see snoring or hear snoring or any type of mouth breathing behavior, that's kind of when you want to look further into the function and what's going on with the tongue, seeing if it's low posture, because even as babies, you can just lift that chin up and have that tongue suction properly to the roof of the mouth. So it's a lot of people are like, oh, my baby snores, it's so cute. I'm like, it's not cute, and it's an airway issue.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think that that's something that like parents, I know, like they come to me and they're really frustrated with what's happening with their child. And you know, we talk about the nervous system being like the regulating of the nervous system. You can't get sleep in fight or flight. Like you're not going to get restful sleep. But a lot of times toddlers will wake up more frequently to breastfeed because guess what's happening when they're breastfeeding? Well, first of all, they're probably nasal breathing. Secondly, their palate is being stimulated. So they're moving into a parasympathetic nervous system state. So that's that rest and digest phase. So they need that support. It's not just about comfort, like, oh, I need a cuddle from mom, which is not a problem or bad, but they're literally, that's their best bet at getting a good night's sleep is actually going back to the breast to breastfeed to fall back asleep. So when we eliminate just breastfeeding, and I talk about this a lot, and parents often ask me, like, you're talking about the needs, like, oh, we need to address the needs underneath and the root causes, and which could be many things. But one of them can be that your child has poor tongue posture, or perhaps actually a tongue tie or something else that's happening, and they're struggling to sleep. So if we eliminate breastfeeding, that's not going to make that problem go away, right? Like they're still going to continue to either wake at night or they're going to have these behavioral issues. And, you know, you've just eliminated a tool that can be used to support that. So yeah, I feel like jumping on that soapbox too. Like this is not normal. We can, you know, there's things to do. We can get support and there's a pathway forward, right? Like it doesn't have to be like this.
Yeah. And I'm in myofunctional therapy for babies. There are feeding therapists and specialists that work with children. In my practice, I don't think I've mentioned it. So I own MyoBalance OMT. I do a lot of virtual consultations and appointments. And then also I do in-person visits as well in my location in Kingsville, Ontario. But myofunctional therapy is a very compliant-based program. So with children or infants and toddlers, it's very hard to get that compliance So it's just kind of figuring out that root cause at the beginning and finding providers that will help until they're old enough to do the therapy program.
I mean, it's harder to have the compliance when your child is not rested. So that's like, it's just extra challenging. And I think that we do ourselves a disservice too when we're not like looking at that and looking for that piece too, because we spend a lot of time talking with our doctor, waiting on wait lists for specialists, for behavioral specialists. And it's not to say that like every behavioral issue is just going to magically disappear when we like have proper tongue posture, but you're just going to be self-sabotaging, right? Like if you don't have that proper tongue posture and you're not like having proper sleep and all those pieces, then you're just going to be sabotaging your efforts to support the other issues that are there too. So it's really important to consider that and to like look at that as part of the piece of the puzzle when we're talking about, you know, kids that are struggling with behavioral issues, you know? So, yeah.
It's a very small part of the puzzle. Look to see if there's any sleep disorder breathing. Because if there is, it will help with the behavior issues, but will it go away completely? I can't guarantee that. Nobody can guarantee that because we don't know what else cognitively is going on. So it's just sleep disorder breathing and behavior issues are hand in hand. The signs and symptoms are almost exactly the same. Children with ADHD and are often misdiagnosed because it is sleep disorder breathing. I work with a lot of local psychologists in the area as well. And we have noticed a big shift after we get that nasal breathing happen in their behavior. So it is, the symptoms are very, very much alike. Am I saying your child doesn't have ADHD? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But the sleep disorder breathing symptoms are very similar to ADHD behaviors. Airway health is number one. It's how we live. We need to breathe.
If you loved this episode, make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss any episodes in the future. Also, check out my breastfeeding toddler communication guide and cheat sheet to learn how to say no to the feed while still saying yes to the need at www.ownyourparentingstory.com/guide. And that concludes another episode of Start to Stop Toddler Breastfeeding. The theme song is Little Balloon by Jenny and Tyler, and it has been a pleasure to share this time with you. I'll catch you in the next episode.